into the
The dog eat your homework?
Yeah. Well, listen, I've had that before. I mean, this was years ago where I was preaching somewhere, and as I'm preaching, I had put my notes in my, I had this big pulpit Bible, okay? So church had a pulpit Bible, and then I went up with my hymn book, and I had my notes in the hymn book, and I had kind of made it on the pulpit Bible and all this kind of thing. And then here the song leader was up there singing and so on and so forth. And he takes that hymn book, my hymn book, and he sits down with it. And I'm up there and I'm thinking, oh no, what do I do with those notes, you know? So I just messes around until the Spirit grabbed me. I know. No. I would chasing down the aisle, chasing after him. I want my book back. But how embarrassing is right. Well, listen, this is a great passage, and I want to read the introduction, and then we'll kind of move ourselves into it. I'll do some explaining there, but living under new management, okay, let me read the introduction. We hear a great deal today about business bankruptcies, corporation bailouts, companies takeover. What's interesting is that when a corporation that has been unprofitable is brought out and then taken over by another, it often begins to show a profit once again within a few short years. What made the difference? Well, studies have shown that different management styles can have a dramatic impact on the profit and loss column. When a corporation takes over another corporation, it can be expected that the bought-out enterprise will undergo dramatic managerial, structural, and procedural changes. As the Apostle Paul continues his correspondence with the Corinthian Christian church, he has addressed some fundamental problems. There's divisions, there's lawsuits, there's jealousy, sexual immorality, and advocating a competitive spirit between church's leadership. Now, in this section of Scripture, Paul reminds these people of a most important fact. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. In becoming a Christian, a corporation takeover has occurred by Jesus Christ. Since the old company, the old you, is now under new management, Jesus expects a new lifestyle. So glorify God in your body. And to me, that is so, so right on as I think about this passage, because as we've been studying now from chapter 3, 4, 5, and kind of moving now into 6, you realize all the stuff that's going on within that church, between the people and their attitudes and outlooks and how they handle their problems and all this kind of thing. But you notice Paul's strategy. You notice, especially when he deals like with the whole morality thing. Paul doesn't launch out in there and say, don't you know what the Ten Commandments says? He doesn't do that. He does not go back to the law and throw the law back at them. What is his approach? What do you see him doing? How does he approach?
Explaining what they were.
Yeah.
What they were and?
What they become.
Who they become. Think about that. And this to me is, this was a revelation for me a bunch of years ago, because it never dawned on me that basically was his whole approach. He did not go back and hammer them with the Old Testament law and says, well, don't you know? Here's the scripture. The law says this. The law says this. He doesn't do that. He says, don't you know who you are? This is who you were. This is now the new you. Now live as the new you. Isn't that amazing?
Pastor Stephen,
yes.
Shows that how he uses the power of God to change a life.
Yes, exactly. Because that's a key point again. It's not as though, well, now here are 8 principles you've got to follow to become the new person.
In your strength.
Yeah, in your strength, exactly. He doesn't do that. He says, no. This is what Christ has done for you.
Yeah.
Now, take that in. And the amazing thing is, as you begin to take that in, you begin to become aware of the presence of God's Spirit in you. Jeff.
Isn't it interesting that Paul does not say, be like me?
He does a couple places.
Yeah, but there.
Imitate me as I follow Christ.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But not here, no.
Here, no. he's
right.
Trying to,
yes.
To awaken that in us.
Exactly. Exactly right. Waken that up. Wake up, wake up. Yes, please, go ahead.
After you say new mind, capture my mind.
Yeah.
That change, it was a change.
Yes.
At the beginning, God talked to the people of Israel once in a year at the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
That Holy of Holies was transferred to Jesus Christ.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? The presence of the Lord. Remember, that God dwelled with his people in a place. Now God dwells with his people in a person. The person is Christ. See? So with that thought in mind, let me read this scripture and let bring home. I want to start with verse 9. I realize I went through verse 9 through 11 last week, but there's a tie-in here. There's a blending of both these sections with this. It comes an end to this chapters 4, 5, and 6. He says, this is who you were. Why are you acting like this? But it also brings in this whole new section where the idea of immorality and marriage and all this kind of thing is beginning. So, do you not know? Isn't that great? How many times he says that in this passage? Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, everything is permissible. I'm just going to read through this whole section here. Everything is permissible for me. But not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach, stomach for the food. But God destroyed them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know? Your bodies are members of Christ himself. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them, unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Isn't that a powerful passage? Wow. Powerful. And that's kind of thinking that has to resonate within our minds as we think about what does it mean for me to live as a Christian? It's not following a bunch of rules. And so prevalent, you know, among so many, you know, even as Christians, you know, we sort of think, well, these are the rules that we have to follow, you know, and then we proof text, and we throw this verse and that verse, and granted, there's verses that help us to understand certain things, but that's not the motivation. The motivation has to be, I am a new creation. I'm a new creature. I belong to the Lord. He bought me. Carl.
This "do you not know" is not an uncommon phrase.
For Paul.
For Paul and others, I think.
No. Paul is very...
Paul only?
Well, it's the only one I read.
No. I couldn't. I wonder if I came across something in the Old Testament that said something similar.
Oh, that could be.
He may have been.
That could be.
But I thought that was an interesting statement. Do
yes.
you not
Do
know?
You not know?
And I wondered about that.
Yes.
What's he trying to say to them?
Yeah.
Are you completely ignorant of this, or you really all knew it, and I'm reminding you?
But think about this, Scott. Remember, Romans 12. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How?
By the renewing of your mind.
Renewal of your mind. And that's got to play into our thinking. God changes your heart. See? Only He can give you a new life. When you invite Him to come into your life, He comes in and gives you, you're born again. There's a movement from just being in the flesh, being born again. You have a spiritual relationship with God. Then how then are you transformed? Well, do you not know? Now the matter, use what God has given you. Start looking at life from a whole different perspective. Whole different perspective. You begin to look at life through God's knothole, through God's glasses. You don't see people as obstacles or as, you know, competitors or, you know, barriers. You look at people and you realize these are people and Christ died for them. Therefore, you know, because people matter to God, they must matter to me. Whole different mindset. See, and I begin to look at life, and I realize life has a purpose. See, I was created for God's pleasure. I have a whole new perspective. That's why I worship Him. I was formed for a family. That's why I join with the church. I was created to have the character of Christ. So I suddenly realized my purpose is not about me anymore. You see, everything changes. Everything changes.
Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute?
Exactly.
May it never be.
Yes.
Exclamation point.
Yes.
But, you know, why is this sin greater than any other sin?
Several things. With the body, there is the sense now that you know, it isn't just I'm taking in some food and I get drunk and so forth. There's something in terms of a relational dimension here. First of all, you realize now, as a Christian, your body belongs to the Lord. He has come to indwell you. So now you take what belongs to the Lord and you have a nightstand with a prostitute, and what are you doing? You're taking Christ with you to do an act that's totally immoral against who He is. And He's saying, how can you do that? You see, will you keep it that way in mind? It isn't you. Your body belongs to Him. Is it making sense?
Yeah, I understand that. But he's talking to us. I mean, he's talking to us. He's talking to... I mean, we see sexual immorality everywhere. You turn on the television.
Right.
50% of the people are getting divorced.
Right. But keep in mind now. He's talking here to whom?
To Christians.
Christians. Okay? Keep that in mind. Now, just because sexual immorality is all around us, you say, yeah. Just like it was in Corinth. It was all around you. But who are you? See, this is the point. Who are you? You are bought with price. You are washed. You are all the things here. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were just. Don't you know who you are? How can you go out doing that? And unless you have a transformed mind to understand, and that's why I keep coming back to Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. See, it's no longer about me. Andy.
This is a very important concept, and I think, you know, that we look at that in as Christians, we understand that God created us in His image.
Right.
And Paul here states, you know, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you when you have received God?
Right.
And so, in a way, is that our bodies are our temples.
Yes.
You know, and we represent the temple.
Exactly.
And as we defile the temple, that is the, like, ultimate,
it is.
You know, disrespect.
It is, ultimate disrespect.
So we have to, as Christians, treat our bodies.
Yes.
As we, you know, as
treat Him.
Exactly, as we treat Him.
It belongs to Him. See?
Right.
There, yes. Yes.
I mean, this is radical.
Oh, it is.
Because especially today, it's, you know, in Romans it says that we exchange the truth of God for a lie.
Mm.
You know, we watch the Truth Project.
Yes, right.
You know, and the enemy deceives. And what's so radical is I've been a Christian since I was 16. Mm-hmm. I never got that Christ lives in me, that I have an opportunity at any moment to live through my soul or live through Christ Himself. And what I love here is Paul is not saying, Dave,
right.
You better sing. Do you not understand?
Exactly.
And today, I got to tell you, I feel like Paul a lot. It's like, do you guys not understand?
Right.
People don't understand.
They don't.
They just don't understand that it is Christ and lives within us and the Holy Spirit. And that's why, you know, you were involved in Gospel of Freedom. We got really got into the forgotten God. And
right.
I just sit here and I begin to, like, have anxiety, not anxiety, but it's like, wow, we can't hear what Paul's saying a lot.
Right.
And that's what he's saying to the church. Do you not get it?
Exactly.
Do you not understand it? There's no longer you live. You've been bought with Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in you. It is not you anymore. And I just think that's incredibly beautiful.
Oh, it is.
So
tremendous.
Radically difficult for people to really get.
And I think this is what you have to keep in mind now. This is, your lives are transformed, you know, as you grasp and understand more and more what God has done. But just because you know all of that doesn't mean automatically do it either.
James 1:22 says,
see?
Just
all right.
You
exactly.
What it says.
There's got to be this. A lot of people don't get it and don't understand it, and so their lives reflect it. But some people do it. They know it, and they still are disobedient. See? So, but the challenge keeps coming back. You've got to know who you are. And remember now, this is not about salvation. This is about growing and maturing in the Lord. Okay? And if you want to grow and mature in the Lord, man, this is the beauty of it. It's the grace and graciousness of God.
Every time I read the words, do you not know the words? Because you really should know.
You're right. You should know that.
You really should. That is spiritual intimacy you have with the Lord.
Exactly.
And then to take your body and have that physical intimacy with a prostitute
is a
distortion.
Yes,
of that
is.
Relationship.
It is a distortion. Exactly right.
It just makes you dirty, filthy.
Exactly. And I think about that sometimes too. So the image of Christ and the church, He uses the image of marriage to highlight us. So you see each time how important this is, and the whole idea of a covenant relationship, is explained through marriage and faithfulness and commitment and all those kind of things. And when you begin to chip away at that, if that's no longer important, you're really getting at destroying so much of what, you know, Christ has informed us with. Go ahead, Andy.
You know, this sin is so abundant that this is why we have a 50% or greater endorsement. You know,
exactly.
This is horrible because this
exactly.
is probably the biggest weakness that we all have.
Exactly.
You know, the immorality of sexuality, you know, on TV, you know, media.
Right.
How about, you know, the padded bras that now...
Right, little kids.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
And this is what's going to destroy our society, is chipping away, as you say.
Yeah, it does. But see, that's why I keep coming back, and I realize there's society out there. We need to have an impact influence. But I tell you something, if we as Christians don't take a hold of that, and again, it's not, you know, casting our curses at people. That's not the answer. It comes out of the gospel, the good news, and of who God is, what it means to have a relationship with Him. And the scary thing for me is sometimes is that, you know, when we are angry about, you know, what's going on out there, we come across sometimes as, good grief, I mean, we're angry, hostile people. And what? No, we have passion, we're concerned, but we really do love you. See, Carl?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I see these signs and placards and they're hateful. I love God and you don't, or whatever.
Yeah.
That's totally wrong. Well, what I was going to say was, you know, I think the difference has to be the difference. There has to be a distinction in Christians' lives that shine out and forth in this world that wants to compromise or get involved in all these crazy lunacy things of their bodies and everything else. There's got to be a distinction of moderation, more than moderation, holy living, living a life that's completely separate and coming out.
Well,
not out of.
Yes.
Because we work in this.
I know.
This is our address.
But it's a style.
But
it's
what you, somehow we have to convey over the impression. It kind of reminds me of those people saw the apostles following Jesus.
Yes.
And they knew exactly who these people were.
That's right.
And when it came to that nighttime fire thing around there, and that girl said, "You're one of them."
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And scared the daylights out of Peter because they thought for sure they could drag him off. Yeah.
Just to bring something back home to you guys again, remember when we saw the Truth Project, and I appreciated Craig reminding us of this. Craig Keller, he was in our Harvesters class. He brought that video into the Harvesters class about our little friend Flash.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Flash?
Yeah.
Tattooed from head to toe. And this, you know, this guy just, and he tells his story, how he was abused as a kid and his mother and burning with cigarettes and on and on and on and on. And what was he looking for? I mean, even when he went to church and how some of the majority of the people, even when he was in church, treated him like a scumbag. I mean, you know, what's this kid doing here? He just kind of, except for this one little old lady, I forget what her name was, but I'll call her Emma. But anyway, and this one little lady just really kind of loved on him. And he said, now that was a true Christian.
Amen.
And I think, but here we are, you know, and here we're dealing with, Bob's dealing with the homeless guys and different things. And here we've got, you know, a variety of ministries. You know, I'm an advocate of, you know, door-to-door evangelism and, you know, sharing Christ with people. And you know, I love that. But at the same time, I'm realizing if we don't have this other dimension going on, caring and loving for people and walking with them in the tough times and putting your arms around them. And even when you know, they don't like what you're teaching, but somehow they can't get past the fact that, you know, here are a bunch of people walking their talk. Mm. That is powerful, gentlemen. Powerful. Fernando.
From the beginning, we used to say, I came to do the will of my Father.
Yes.
From the beginning, we understand that God was a very possessed God.
Yeah, jealous God.
He went to the people to be close to Him, to have relation with Him.
Right.
That way He brought the subject, the change, the Father, and the Son.
Yes.
Now we are related to the Father through His Son. And God demands the people to be holy.
Yes.
That the only way He can be close to them, through Jesus Christ, we approach that holiness.
Exactly.
Part of the body of Jesus
Christ. Because Jesus gives us His righteousness and holiness. That's the only way it works. No. But I got to get into this passage over here. Aren't you guys are going to say there? Another year has gone by. We're still have young Acts 1.
We got nothing to do to this.
Oh, yeah.
We're trying to make it easy on you.
Come make it easy on me. Okay. Right. But
this is good stuff.
Yeah. I know. But, you know, getting back to the meat is to some of the stuff here. But, you know, Paul's purpose here is not to give a list of sins that will indicate whether or not one has lost his salvation. Rather, he describes the character of those not saved. Now, this is... the old management style. And he's doing this to say, look, you've got to remember where you came from and see what God has done, okay? So what is the apostle's point by raising the question in 6:9? I want someone to find Romans 6:1-4, and someone else find 2 Corinthians 6:16-17. I want you to find that. I'm going to read here. 6:9, we just read this. Do not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Okay, and then he gives us a big long list and so on and so forth. What do you find now in Romans 6:1-4? Who's got that? Go ahead, Derek.
What shall we say then? Shall we go sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We beg to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know?
Can you hear that?
Don't you know? All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
Okay. What is he saying? Can you put it in your words? What's going on here? How is he explaining this? I mean, in Romans, what happens when a person when they become a Christian? What's Paul's point?
We're crucified with Christ. We're crucified. We've died to our sin. We're no longer governed by sin.
Right.
We have a new nature.
New
holiness.
There's something else going on within you, Rick.
Yeah, the power of sin that gripped our lives before we became children of God has now been canceled. The only way that sin can master me is when I allow my mind, because sin begins in the mind, to then begin to take over and do what it wants to do.
Yes. What you've got to remember now is when you see that you too have been nailed on the cross with Jesus, that's the picture you have to have in mind. You too have been nailed on the cross. Now, that doesn't mean that the presence of sin is gone. I'll take my time here. That the presence, it says the power of sin has been broken. See? So now you've got to recognize that you have, and baptism has to tell you this. That's why he says, this is why, you know, I love the fact of baptism. It tells you something. There's a message there. Okay? Here I am. I go under the water, and I realize now the water then identifies me with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. But now I also have died. Going under the water, remember that pastor friend of mine? I kill you in the name of Jesus. And boy, I could take good care of you. I just hold you under the water 10 minutes and it's over. You know? But I always love that. He this is what he would say. It's Juan Carlos Ortiz. He said, I kill you in the name of Jesus. When that says something to us, now it's no longer I who live. I come up out of the water, it's not about me anymore. I have died. So now, if I have come alive, whose life now dwells in me? It's Christ. The power of sin has been broken. Sin's presence is still there. Now I've got to learn how to walk by the Spirit and not by my flesh. See? The Spirit, basically you're saying, okay, now, you know, what's that? Well, it just basically says, I'm conscious, I'm aware. There's a new life in me, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, you know what's on your agenda, what's going on here? Help me to see my circumstance through your eyes. Help me to see this person through your eyes. You see, your whole perspective changes. There.
See, I just got to throw this out real quick, and we'll move on. What you're talking about, I'm just fired up about. Scott has given me the green light to put together a class for Wednesday night. It's the class of sanctification.
Very good.
Like, who are we now?
Very good.
Christians. And,
right.
And I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I kind of know where to begin to, but I'm going to need God. And what you're talking about, I'm just, right well, now, but this is it.
You want to talk some more about it? We'll get together.
Yeah, very badly.
Okay, very good.
Something to think about. And I believe it's in Ecclesiastes. It might be in Proverbs. The better is the day of a man's death than the day of his birth.
Okay, all right.
And it's always perplexed me. But in light of this scripture, it makes...
Well, yeah, I would...
Right. When you die to yourself...
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would say. I don't know about... if that's exactly what Solomon was saying, you've got to remember Ecclesiastes is an interesting book. We're not going there right now, okay? We opened up a whole new topic over there. But who's got 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, 17? Who's got that? All right. Okay, I'm good. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Daryl.
What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols?
Okay.
We are the temple of the living God. God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out of them, and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Okay. Now, you see what what is saying there? What can you explain that to me in your language, best of your ability?
He affirms us that we are the temple of the living God.
Okay. Yes.
So, as God has said, live the life that he has called us to.
Yes. Now, when you think about what your question was earlier about, well, how's this, relationship with a prostitute or, different than other kind of sin? Well, there's something about that when you recognize that, as Paul says here, the scripture says that you are united with her. That's the sexual act is something to remind us that there is a coming together, a unity of flesh, but signifying the unity of two people coming together. Now, when you realize what it's saying here, we are the temple of the living God. I remember here a couple years ago, I was asked by Monty Sharp again to teach the theology class in the Bible boot camp. This is always every July. And I had a kid raise his hand and says, is there anything wrong with me getting tattooed? I says, and then you kind of look at this passage over here in Corinthians, and I quoted this to him. I said, well, I said, everything is permissible. Everything's permissible. But I said,
but not beneficial.
But not everything's beneficial. But everything's permissible, but everything is not. I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, I was saying to him, look, I'm not going to throw out some verse over here to say, thou shalt not be tattooed. But I said to him, what you've got to recognize now is, you want to be able to do something. And I said, you've got to wrestle with this. I said, I'm not going to come here and tell you what you can or cannot do. When you understand that your body belongs to the Lord, it's not yours anymore. I showed him this. You understand what I'm saying here? Look, no longer bought by Christ. He bought it. Now he said, look at this passage here in 2 Corinthians. You now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple. In other words, what other people see and they will go to meet God. You now also, I believe, in the priesthood of believers. Priesthood of all believers. You stand now as God's representative to mediate between sinful man and a holy God. I said, now, you got to decide now what you're going to do. Is this what you want? Does this represent Christ? And so, I left it with that. And I don't know if you got a tattoo like Flash. I'm not sure. I'm going to hit you over here. Go ahead, James.
As we're talking about this, about the soul in the temple. The temple is where the soul would reside, even if it's our soul resides in our body, which is the temple.
I you lost me there. It's where the soul. Are you talking about the temple
God's temple.
In the Old Temple?
Right. In the Old Testament, the temple is just where.
It's where God resides, not just the soul.
Right.
God's presence.
Our body.
Yes.
Is our temple.
Yes. God's presence is there through the Holy Spirit.
Right. Okay. So my question is, what you do to the temple is not quite as important, I would say, as what we do with our soul. In other words, the temple is a physical building. It's not. When God resided in the temple is the temple. It wasn't God. What made the temple holy was God.
Well,
right.
But the point here is, see, his point is, for instance, this next little statement, I'm way ahead of here, but at least look at it, verse 13. Food is for the stomach and stomach for food, but God will destroy them both.
Right.
The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord.
Right.
The Lord with the body. So don't just say, well, this is a temple and that's not as important as what, you know, what's going on the inside, which I have to agree with. You know, what's on the point here is he's saying, don't make that distinction. He's saying that this is my presence here, and now, of course, the presence of the Lord. God, you know, God made his dwelling with man in Jesus. You say, well, his body isn't very important. It's who Jesus is on his side. Well, yeah, but that good Greek thinking, you make this philosophy distinction. He's saying you've got to understand something. Your body, that's you. That's you. Now, the one dwells in you. You say, well, yeah, but hey, that's the most important. You're right, that's the most important. But this is you. See, and my body is the expression of me. And I think that's what you have to kind of keep thinking about that. Derek.
Well, I think that the other part that goes along with those lines is that not only is the body is you and the body belongs to Christ and it's the temple, but we are the representative of God in this earth to the rest
right.
of the world.
Right. Right.
And we're the ones that are delivering that message, and
yes.
the only way that they might be able to get that is through what we represent and we act. And to become more Christ-like and
yes.
focused. I'm oversimplifying it,
no, but, it's
but
true.
When people look at Christians, that may be the only chance that they
You've
have
got
a
it.
Chance to see the living God.
That's right, yeah.
And that they may, and the Holy Spirit,
yes.
you know, the Holy Spirit works through us
yes.
to touch them and to have them
yes.
come to know him better in whatever way or form yep. or how we represent that.
And always keep in mind now, when I think about these things, I know what time it is. Just stretch it, Jeff, okay? Just stretch it. Sheesh. Dingling's over here. Anyway, but you've got to remember, two things you got to keep hanging on to. Doctrine and theology and behavior. Belief and behavior. Because there are some people said, oh, well, it doesn't matter what you believe, so long as you live this practical kind of life and you really display all this love, so forth. Well, wait a minute. No, it's not just about, you know, a lifestyle. It's about who impacts you. Whose life are you reflecting? And then, of course, there are those who say, well, it doesn't matter what I do. It's what I believe. Well, yeah, that's very important. And make sure your doctrine is solid. It rests on the Word of God. You know, that's very, very important. But without the expression of that belief through behavior, you don't say a squat. In fact, you're almost denying what the whole message is all about. So you got to keep those things together. Last word.
When James, what did he say about the temple?
Yes.
It's not had to do with the physical temple. It's a spiritual temple.
Yeah.
What it changed.
Yeah.
That the holy, holy on us.
Yeah. But the point here is Paul's bringing the two together. Yeah,
yeah,
it's your spiritual temple. You're right. And but you remember now what the Greeks were saying. Well, you know, your spirit, you know, belongs to God. But hey, whatever you do with your body doesn't matter anyway. You know, so hey, live it up, man. Did your spirit belong? No way.
No.
That means join the mafia then, okay? You know, I go to church and I machine gun those I don't like. You know, no. It's something where you realize this is who I am inside, but it's expressed outside.
If you shoot them in love, is that okay?
Shoot them in love. Okay, but I got a quick. Go ahead, Andy.
One quick minute.
Sure.
I think the way to look at it is that we're inseparable, soul and body.
Yeah.
The soul cannot live without the body.
Yes.
And the body cannot live without the soul.
Well, except when you know we die, it's going to continue. All right. Yeah.
On earth. Right.
Yeah.
You separate that.
Yeah.
You're in heaven. So as long as we're inseparable, they're all
right.
One.
Yeah. And that's and again, it all fits together. When you get back, you will get back into the resurrection here in chapter 15. But that's why the resurrection is so important. There are some people who say, oh, you know, Jesus rose from the dead. Spiritually, he's with God. But hey, who cares with the body? Because you just junked the body. Well, no. Resurrection.
Yeah.
The tomb was empty. Up from the grave he arose, okay? Death has been conquered.
I've been to the tomb. It's empty.
You've been there.
I've been there.
Hey, awesome.
I checked it out personally.
Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much just for this time of sharing and learning and growing and challenging us, Lord. We just realize more and more, Father, that as we study your word, it's not just about points of interest. So it's helping us to understand who we are.
Yes.
What we are in Christ Jesus and who you are and what you've done. Lord, help us to feed on that so it feeds our soul. And so, gracious God, more and more that we can be that living temple. And realizing, Lord, that not only individually, but collectively, we're like stones fit together, says Peter. Stones fit together to reflect the living Christ who dwells in us. Father, thank you. And may this be just a very exciting week for us, Lord, as we prepare for, especially Sunday. We have the Palm Sunday. Just be reminded again how you walked into Jerusalem. And then this whole week, Lord, preparing for the crucifixion. And Lord, we know that it's an ugly scene and it's horrific. And yet, Father, we give you the praise and the glory because we realize that death cannot hold you. And because you live, we too will live. And you promise, gracious God, because of your resurrection, that there will come that day where you too will come and receive us to yourself. And knowing that when you receive us to ourself, that apps from the body is present with the Lord, and that's in the Holy Holies. And for that we give you praise. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great week.